Okay, there we go. I know we should be having a few more people.
I would think so. I hope everyone has. Oh, there's somebody.
Here we go.
Jerry, Betsy said to tell everyone hello. She had a minor surgery and she's still recovering, but she said she'll be back after our little break here.
Okay. Well, good.
Okay.
Give her our best.
All right. Yes.
Well, Jerry, I finally found out why I'm usually late. The
Why is
clock
that?
in this room is about 3 or 4 minutes off. And I discovered that today.
Okay.
I never thought to look at the computer clock here, but I figured I didn't need it.
I always check my phone clock when I think others might be off.
Well, I didn't even
Yeah.
suspect that. I mean, I'm just going through, floating down the river.
That's okay, though.
Good place to be.
Yes.
It's like when you lose something, you find it, of course, the last place you put it. But of course,
Exactly.
if I knew the last place I put it, right, I would have went there to
Little
begin with, right? It wouldn't be lost.
exactly. So now the next issue for me is to remember after the meeting to change the time on that clock. Okay. I'm going to put it over here where I set the computer, and I won't be able to set it down. And then I'll wonder why is it sitting there? Oh, that's all right.
We'll have it. Well, I'll tell you what, John, we'll have a contest at the end of the class. Let's see who remembers to remind you. All right.
Hopefully, I'll be amongst that number. Oh, dear.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, I'm never going to sit down and detail all the little things that I do and don't do because I wouldn't have time for anything else.
Oh, gosh.
Well,
But life is fun.
I'm sure all of you
That's
have been
right.
involved in when I either go up to, I'm at the head of the stairs or the bottom of the stairs. And by the time I get there, I wonder, what did I go up to the stairs for?
I'll do that. Yeah.
Sometimes even retracing my steps doesn't work. Say, oh, the hell with it. It was really that important. I would have done it, I guess.
Yeah, and from the kitchen to the storage cabinet, 50 feet maybe. And how many times have I gone to the cabinet, start to open the door and say, what was it I came in for? And I have to stop and think, am I working on a recipe? Am I doing it? What was it? So that's what happens when you've got so many things on your mind.
I'm wondering if I have this. Let me see if I can find it. Oops.
Yeah.
I just had something I was looking for.
Okay.
Here's a little introduction to getting older. This was from a Hallmark card that I heard Ram Dass quote one time. Just a line to say I'm living and not among the dead, although I'm getting more forgetful and mixed up in the head. Because sometimes I can't remember as I stand at the foot of the stairs if I must go up for something or if I just came from down there. And before the fridge, so often, my poor mind is full of doubt Did I just put food in, or have I come to take it out? And there are times when it is dark out and my nightcap on my head, I don't know if I'm retiring or just getting out of bed. So if it's my turn to write you, there's no need for getting sore. I may need to think I have written and don't want to be a bore. Remember, I do love you and wish you were here. And it's nearly mail time, so I'll say goodbye here. Then I stood beside the mailbox with my face so very red. Instead of mailing you my letter, I opened it instead. Oh. I love my new bifocals. My dentures fit me fine. My hearing aids are perfect, but Lord, I miss my mind.
Oh. It's funny.
Let's take a moment to just relax in your space. Take a couple of deep breaths if you like. And just realize that we are here perfectly. Just where we need to be, just where we should be. Learning whatever it is we need to learn. Mm-hmm. Opening ourselves up, and as we do that, that everyone and everything is touched. There are no separate actions. There are no separate thoughts. Mm-hmm. Everything we do, think, feel, and experience touches everyone and everything else. Does anybody have anything to explore or answer or look at before we begin with this evening's lesson? Always open to that. Okay. I'm on page 114. Beyond the known, realization. Now, the divine is what you are, which simply means the manifestation of the divine in physical form. And the word became flesh. Same thing. The divine is you. The divine is what you are, which simply means the manifestation of the divine in physical form, can contribute to change as an expression of the Christ. Once you understand that being at this level of consequence simply acts as the one who knows who he is, expresses the vibration of being. So that's true of, let's say, the person of Jesus, Buddha, Gandhi, perhaps Merton. They projected an aura. Mother Teresa, Peace Pilgrim. They projected an aura which went beyond their physical form. Now, most of us can actually experience that if you like sometimes. If you were just to take your hands and open them up and move them just sort of gently into your forehead, your facial muscles. If you were astute enough, there would be a place about 3 to 6 inches away from your skin that you would start picking up a vibration of warmth that comes from your physical being. It's just right there. It's there all the time. We just don't notice it too much. But now we're talking about some of the giants of the human race. When Buddha first had his enlightenment experience under the Bo tree and got up and started walking around after years of punishing behavior, of sacrifice, of living on, you know, one or two grains of rice a day, he had this aura around him. And if you ever take a look at some middle-aged paintings, they always have halos and auras and things like that. Not that you could visibly see that, but you could sense that around the beings that they're talking about. Well, he had one of those too. And people would come up to him and said, "Are you a saint? Are you a god?" Because they could see something was very different about his, and sense something was very different about his vibration. And he said, "No, I'm awake." "Ah, I'm awake." The idea that you have been called to a great act in some ways is true. But the great act is the transformation of being into the high octave as the expression of the divine that can be known with manifestation. What this means is any idea that you have held of what it means to be the manifest divine is replaced completely in comprehension of being it. That's the whole focus of last week. What it any notion, any idea you have held of what it means to be the manifest divine is, in other words, the idea is replaced by the action. Instead of thinking about what it looks like, what it feels like, what it's supposed to be like, what is it like? How is it a part of your being? You don't question things about the self when they are known or realized, but do you strive to be what you already are? And the consequence of being, the manifestation of the divine as expressed by you, is the choice to become acknowledged one, the articulated one who calls the echo of his vibration into the world to move into like vibration with all that is known and seen. The decibel you operate at the Christ itself, actually lifts in totality and resonance what it encounters. And the ramifications of this means that everything you see and encounter must be understood in a new way. Let me give you an example of that, and hopefully this will work for you. This is not meditation per se, it's more of a guided imagery, but can you imagine, just close your eyes for a minute, take a couple of breaths. And imagine that we can measure your vibratory level of, and what I mean by that is the projection of higher consciousness. We can measure that from 0 to 100. And that's going on all the time, by the way. We can measure that from 0, you're dead. 100, you're the risen Christ. So just for the sake of an experiment, if you were to ask yourself the question right now, what is my level of Christ consciousness vibration at this point between 0 and 100? There's no right or wrong definition of that. Just get a sense of that. Whatever comes into your consciousness. Notice what it is, notice what number it is, notice how you sense that. And then imagine what it would be like that you were doing something you loved and doing it very well. Whatever it is, knitting, taking pictures, reading a book, listening to music, playing music, going for a walk in the woods. You're doing something you love and doing it very well. Now, what's your vibrational level? And notice how it changed simply by doing some, simply by imagining something different. And then letting go of whatever you might be imagining, however, still focusing on what your vibrational level is at this moment, from 0 to 100. And then imagine what it would be like, sort of be like you got a little volume control dial that goes from 0 to 100. Imagine what it would be like to turn your vibrational level up, let's say 5 points on the dial. Just turn the dial up. Like a rheostat on a light bulb, you turn it up a little bit and it gets brighter. Turn it up a little bit more. Perhaps focusing on opening your heart, turning it up a little bit more. Without getting uncomfortable or forcing anything to happen, what would it be like if you could turn the dial up as far as it will go in this moment? And then just stay there. You can take a breath, open your eyes when you're ready. I'm going to suggest that you could do that anytime. It's always available. The decibel you operate at as the Christ itself actually lifts in totality and resonance of what it encounters. And the ramifications of this means that everything you see and encounter must be understood in a new way. So what was that like, being in charge of your vibrational level? Not just having it affected by what's going on outside of you, but realizing that there's an internal dial you can turn up or down if you want to. It's right there. It's there all the time. And I think I might be, I don't want to think for you, but and looking at this for myself, when we tune into one another on Tuesday evening, I think I almost automatically, without thinking about it too much, I almost automatically raise my vibrational level up beyond where it was a moment ago. Mm-hmm. What I'm suggesting here is that we are given in our reading tonight, and in other readings as well, for sure. But we're given a way of being able to do that consciously. I mean, I know we can change our thoughts, we can change what we're thinking about, change what we focus on. But this is a little bit different of focusing in on actually lifting or raising up my vibrational level. And knowing that that touches everyone and everything as a choice I make. Now, at this juncture, we must say that the teaching that you are receiving, while for the text, must be understood by each of you as an act, as a state of being, rather than an idea. It is an idea. It exists as an idea, but it's more than that. We're not really focused on the idea or the thought so much as we are focused on the being it, the divine as you. Not the divine as you think you are. Notice the difference just between the energy of those two statements. The divine as you, as compared to the divine as you think you are. It's got a whole different energy to it. The divine as you is so much more, from my experience anyway, is so much more open, so much of a higher vibration rather than the divine as me as I think I am. Goes right up into my head. It doesn't stop the vibration so much, but it certainly cools it down a little bit because then I'm trying to figure something out, trying to prove it to myself or somebody else. The manifestation of the Christ in echo, in resonance, is an act of articulation made real in the physical world. When something is articulated, it is announced, it is present, and the claim, I have come, is an articulation of being. The articulation of being at this level commences the moment you say that you are willing to embody and release the obstacles you have utilized in self-definition in the low octave. I am willing. Surrender is another form of surrender. By low octave, we mean the density of form, an agreement to form that you elected to become when you first incarnated in form. To bypass, to lift beyond what has already been claimed, requires the self, the divine self, to assume the low self to its benefit. In other words, I don't push it away. I embrace it and say, there's that ego and that personality that I have spent a lifetime creating as part of my vehicle here on planet Earth, but it's not who I am. But I don't push it away and say, that's bad. I shouldn't have that. It's there. It's part of my being. It's part of my vehicle. And so I say, I embrace it as being a part of this lower consciousness, if you want to call that. And I embrace that so it becomes part of my higher self, my higher consciousness. I don't throw it away. I don't push it away. I am even thankful and grateful for it as a because it remains as a teacher. Because I don't know about yours, but mine keeps showing up. And the more I push it away, the more it pushes back. So instead of pushing it away, when I embrace it, it'd be like embracing a child who's crying, who's sad, or is uncomfortable. I can remember one of the first things I learned when I was working with people in recovery. I was working as a counselor, as a chaplain. And I remember I was following this one counselor around who was just an exceptional human being. And we were back in the detox ward where this one guy was going through some horrendous DTs, hallucinations, and just almost in a seizure-like state, but not quite there. And what this woman did, she walked up to him. He was lying on this rather hard bed, and she put her hands on him. Last thing I would have thought of, because I just wanted to get the hell out of there. She put her hand, and he immediately calmed down. And she, this was way before we've ever talked about any of this new agey stuff. Way before people were talking about healing touch or Reiki or anything like that. And she looked at me and she said, touch is magical. Mm-hmm. She didn't use the words, but it changes your vibration. And when I was willing to touch this man, not out of fear, even though it was very scary, he was a big guy, not out of fear, but out of love and care and concern, he immediately took that in on a higher level of consciousness.
Gary,
mm-hmm.
I really got a good message from what you just said to embrace. For me, it's my ego. I push it away. I don't like what it says. I think it lies to me. In the situation you was talking about, putting their hand on someone to heal them, my ego would tell me, who do you think you are? You can heal? You know, so I push my ego away a lot of times. And today I'm hearing you say, I need to embrace it. And I like that. Thank you.
Marion Williamson has kind of a funny story she said about that one. Her ego acts up, which she says quite often. Just turns around, sort of pats it on the head and says, thank you for sharing.
Jerry?
Yeah.
I had just read this morning in one of my study books that I'm going over, and it just coincides with this. Like, listening to you, I thought, oh, why can't I seem to express feeling something here about, but when you mentioned that act of her putting her hands on that gentleman, this was thinking of others and acting altruistically, which is a caring for others, compassion for others, is consciousness expanding.
Mm.
The law of expansion and contraction is one of the hidden laws of creation. It works because we are all interconnected and interdependent. And this is why a fundamental teaching of all the world's faith is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So I could only... right then, when you mentioned that story, and then I looked at that I had written this down in one of my books where I keep some things I really like, that as our consciousness expands, that energy, that vibration that you had been talking about, had to have come through her because of her sincere caring outpouring from the heart and touched him, there had to have been an energy
mm-hmm.
vibrate in him that was calming for that moment.
Definitely. I'm wondering also, Paula, I was struck by what you said there about the law of expansion and contraction,
mm-hmm.
whether or not that fits also with that learning I had received a couple of years ago about asking myself the question, does it open my heart or does it close?
Right, exactly. It's like the same thing. Like I read a thing also on Jesus's healings. This is from Emmett Fox, as you know, in the Unity Church. He explained that it wasn't that he just passed people and said, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed. His conscious level had reached such a height that went into the vibration, into that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost like the same thing. So if when I'm thinking of the numbers of my, that you started off this with, I think I'm probably always more to the low end of the totem pole there. But sometimes when I read when I read something like that, that was powerful to me, that connection and that vibratory energy that can be transferred to others.
Mm-hmm. The way I got that with Jesus was, and these are my words, is that he did not see sickness.
Right.
Right. He saw the perfection of this being. And his vision of seeing their perfection was so powerful that they could no longer hold on to whatever negativity was producing that ailment. I see you in your perfection. And my vision, the power of my vision, the power of my vibration of seeing you in your perfection is so much more powerful than whatever negativity or illness or disease you might be holding on to, that it just gets released. It's not there anymore. So again, it's as Emmett Fox pointed out, it's not just a magic trick.
Yeah, right.
Saying you're well, right? It's my vision of you and my vibration that I hold you in, that I see you in your perfection. And because I see you in your perfection, that outdistances or outclasses any imperfection you might be holding on to.
And that's at the high end of the scale there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Did Jesus wake that man up? Is that what happened? He woke him up?
Well, that's another way of looking at it. It was and I guess some of the people that he healed stayed awake, and some didn't.
Mm.
I'm sure that was, although it was put in, from my perspective, it was put in the realm of choice. They had a choice then. So it'd be, that's a real interesting question. I don't know how. That's about the only way I can answer it, is that my perception is that some of them probably woke up and stayed awake as best they could. I mean, even the apostles fell asleep again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the crucifixion, they were in the upper room, scared shitless. They were not the happy campers, okay? So yeah, I think that's a really interesting perspective, Diane. I'm sure some of, you know, if any one of us was cured from an illness or disease, or those of us who are in recovery, who surrendered and no longer are under the, we're still alcoholic, but not under the auspices of that particular illness. Sure, that's a wake up call. I'm awake. That surrender allows me to be awake. And yet at the same time, well, not at the same time, but I still fall asleep. I still forget. But as Ram Dass put it so beautifully, he said, you know, once you're awake, and I know I've shared this before, mm-hmm. once you're awake, you can never really fall asleep again completely. You can doze. You know, you can forget about it for a while. You can fall asleep for a while. You can sleepwalk for a while. But it's never going to take a hold of you like it might have in the past.
Right. Like it would be hard for, I mean, it would almost be impossible once you hit on a spiritual path that's ingrained in consciousness, you wouldn't go out and steal something or murder someone or whatever, because it just wouldn't be in that vibration to do.
It'd be kind of, I'm sure you could, right, if you really set your mind to it, right? But it would be.
I know the repercussions.
It would be kind of hard to, once you've experienced the higher vibration, it'd be kind of hard to live down in that lower state of consciousness.
Yeah.
I know, for instance, we were talking about people living with addictions. I mean, I know people who went back to drinking and were miserable, horribly miserable. But that didn't stop the process necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so much of this depends on my, I guess, on my own vibration, on my own outlook on things.
What and I how choose. Deeply something goes into the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
As as truth.
Can you think of an example of that?
Well, for me, even my very strong belief in the law of cause and effect, karma, reincarnation, and karma is good and bad. I know an act creates a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So feeling so, I believe that wholeheartedly. My awareness of my actions are, I feel more astute than maybe years ago.
Okay.
I'm not saying that I would always be perfect with, but on high scales of atrocities of behaving, like murders, stealing from people, hurting others with intent.
Mm-hmm.
Not with intent would not be in the line.
Doesn't fit anymore.
No. Where before, maybe the you're not aware of what intention really means.
Right. You're not aware of your power. Okay.
Yes.
You're not aware of your creative power.
Yeah.
Or you don't believe in it. I think it's all about mm-hmm. believing.
Right.
Believing. And Jesus was the truth, the light and the way. And there was nothing more to him than that. He believed. Mm-hmm. He never had second thought. He never had to change his thoughts. He was the truth, the light, and the way. He believed. You have to believe.
The classic conversion example is Paul on the road to Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
And he completely changed after that. So that's, I don't know if that's what you're getting at, Jerry, but that would be one where it was pretty dramatic and he didn't go back.
You know, Paul's a real interesting character from my perspective. If you read his epistles, his letters to Corinthians, Romans, etc., there are times when, and again, this is my interpretation. I'm sorry, I started this last too long. There are times when he sounds very egotistical, very dualistic, right, wrong, good, bad, this, that. And there are other times when he wrote that in Corinthians, for example, when he wrote that treatise on love, which are so otherworldly. And to me, he's a great example of somebody who is trying his best to do the best he can, who truly went through a huge spiritual awakening. And yet at the same time, still gets caught up in his ego consciousness, his sense of separateness, but not all the time. And isn't that kind of like us?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, each one of us is here because we've all experienced in some way, shape, or form something huge, either internally or externally or both in our lives, that just sort of turned the clock around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is that all there is? It must be something more than that.
Yeah.
Put us on this particular, when I say this particular path, I don't mean Paul Seligs, but this particular path that you're traveling. And what's such a blessing to me with you all is that even though there are times when we are not awake all the time, even though there are times when we forget or fall into forgetfulness, is we don't let that take over. Say, I am more than that. I'm still doing it, all right? I'm still learning how to ride the bicycle, right? I'm still falling on my hoopy doopy, right? I'm still doing that, and I'm doing the best I possibly can do, and I'm going to get back up again, and again, and again, and again, and again.
Jerry,
Yeah.
A quick question. Do you think Jesus had an ego?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Gary?
If you were to take a look at one of the books that influenced me quite a bit about Jesus was a book called The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament.
We got that.
Which is sort of like, if you can imagine, the writers of the New Testament being influenced by the Course in Miracles, right? It uses some of the same language. And there was a very succinct passage, but the book of Mark, I believe, is the one that's most biographical. And at one particular point, it was fairly early in, actually it was when Jesus came out of the desert. Remember when he went to the desert for 40 days and 40 nights mm-hmm. and fasted and did all this, and the devil tempted him and blah, 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 blah. And it says very simply that he came out, I'm paraphrasing here because I don't remember the exact words, but he came out of the desert purified. However, he still had fear inside of him that he was not ready to see yet. And that does not, that particular idea or energy does not change until the last part of the book of Mark, where Jesus is in the garden with Peter, James, and John before he gets arrested. Mm-hmm. And you might recall that Peter, he brought Peter, James, and John with him, and then he went over to a separate place to pray to the Father, prayed. And he knew something was really going to be difficult for me to go through, but I'm praying about it anyway. And he goes back to where Peter, James, and John, they're asleep. Mm-hmm. And you can tell he's kind of annoyed, but he doesn't say anything about it. He goes back to pray again. Comes back a second time, they're asleep again. Comes back a third time, they're just starting to wake up. And he says, come on, it's time to go. And it said at that moment, there was no more Jesus. In other words, there was no more ego and no more personality. This was the divine consciousness as close to it that being that can be and still be here on planet Earth at the same time. So all the way through, it wasn't a struggle, it was a realization. And a healing that took place, same kind of healing and same kind of healing that takes place in each one of us. So it wasn't any different than what might have occurred to each one of us. There was fear inside that he was not ready to look at yet. And then there came a time when he was. And when he looked the fear in the eye, whatever form that happened to take, the ego and the personality had served its purpose. From that moment on, there was no more Jesus. That's my reflection on that, Diane.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
Hey, Jerry, I was going to say, it seems like Paul, Peter, and David, all three are tremendous examples of the dual nature of man. Some of the most spiritual people, David in the Old Testament, Paul, and Peter, it writes about David and Peter's missteps or lack of faith. Or
he was great about that.
Sending some guy into battle so he can sleep with his wife. And then with Paul, of course, I've noticed that too about his writing. Some of them are so upper room. And then other ones, it's just like, oh, really? You know? Yeah. And I also wanted to say real quick on the previous topic about touch is powerful. You know, I remember being a little kid and wrecking my bike, and whether it was, you know, a physical wound or having a fever with strep throat, whenever I would get a hug from mom or grandmas, one of my grandmas, like my fear that the pain was still there, but I was not in this self-referential bubble consumed with my situation. And it had wonderful healing power because I trusted them. And I knew that there was someone else there. You know what I mean? It popped that consumed with whatever's going on. It actually let me know someone else is here. There was great power in that from the women in my family.
Sure.
Really grateful for that.
You know, it sounds like the touch allowed you to open up, you know, rather than sort of be wrapped around your own pain, right? So the pain is still there, but somehow or another, it's not affecting me the same way it did before. I'm not tightly gripping a hold of it and saying, oh, it's still there, but I am loved. I am cared about. Bypass, lift beyond what has already been claimed, requires the self, the divine self, to assume the low self to its benefit. So the idea of who you are, and underline the word idea, because all you think you are and expect to be is simply an idea and nothing more, is assumed in the vibration of the Christ and re-announced, re-articulated in the claim, I have come. The idea of who you are, and underline the word idea, because all you think you are and expect to be is simply an idea and nothing more. An idea usually that has been reinforced and told to us by a whole bunch of other people who did not know who they were. As I like to say, the good news is you're not who you think you are.
I like it.
Let me see, what time is it? Let's do this one final paragraph and then we'll do a meditation. Now, when this is spoken, I have come. I'm here. I am present. I am present as my divine consciousness in this moment. See, we do that all the time on Tuesday night, which is great. Right. We drag our bodies along, right? We know that's not who's doing this. Now, when this is spoken, the agreement is made, first in the vibratory field and the manifestation that you may know of as the causal body, which then agrees to assume the entirety of the manifest self by knowing or realizing what it has always been. Simplified language, the good news is you're not who you think you are, and you never were. Not only are you not who you think you are, you never were who you think you are. When you decide that the what that you are, the form you have taken and its expression may be re-articulated and re-known, the vibration of the body in connection with the energetic fields that it expresses through may be reclaimed again and again in the upper room. What this means for some of you is that the idea of who you are is re-known, re-expressed, and the announcement of the vibration I have come claims what you are now in commensurate action with the level of expression you have claimed. In other words, what you claim is the level of your perception and the level of your projection of your vibration. So what we started with, that little exercise we started with about getting in tune with your vibe, getting in tune with your vibration, right? Your expression of vibration comes about from the manifestation of who you think you are. If you know in consciousness that you are divine self projecting itself or working as you, then the vibration is going to be off the charts. It's going to be beyond 100. See, but if you start thinking, well, 100 is the limit, that's as far as you're going to get. Claims you are now in commensurate action with the level of expression you have claimed. By level of expression, we mean that the decibel of vibration or the sound the claim confers through your alignment adjusts as you articulate the self in manifestation. In other words, you have a choice of the projection and the vibration that you send out and that you also receive. When you claim your power as the divine consciousness or the unique expression of the divine consciousness, the power that you can express through that is unlimited and unshakable. Greater things than this shall you do, Jesus said. He said, oh, you think this is something? Once you catch on, once you get a hint of what this is all about, what I've done in the material world is nothing compared to what you can do. Now, what would the world be like if we really believed that? So we're going to take a few minutes. I'm going to ask you to put your stuff down. Get comfortable in your spot. A couple of deep breaths, deep cleansing breaths. Let your breath find its own natural rhythm. Close your eyes if you like. And just for the sake of carrying on our little experiment, to notice where your vibrational level is at this moment, just using the arbitrary measurement of 0 to 100. And then if you like to imagine what it would be like to just turn that dial up a few notches, that volume control dial on your vibration, turn it up a little bit. And then turn it up a little bit more. Don't force anything. And allow yourself to soften around that deeper realization of your vibrational level at this moment. Just soften around it. If you care to add an extra image to that, you can imagine it as being like a light bulb that you turn up brighter and brighter. And notice if it were a light bulb, how differently you might see the world around you. Might see somebody you thought was evil and now see that they are just another human being in pain or deserving of your compassion. Or perhaps allowing the light to shine upon yourself and noticing that there are areas of your life that need to be forgiven, to be released or transformed. And perhaps I need to see myself more in the light of being healed. And then holding anyone or anything, and could even be this whole planet Earth, of holding it in love. And allowing it to absorb the higher vibration of your being. So that it doesn't become a difficulty or a problem, it becomes something to be loved and healed. And when we claim the message, I have come, we are claiming the truth of divine consciousness here in us, with us, in this moment, infusing everyone and everything. I am here. I am here with you. I am here with all those you see on the news. I am here with those who are difficult to be with. I am here even within my own doubts and my own fears. And my presence allows my fears, my neuroses, to begin to relax their hold on me. Because I know they are not who I am. And not only am I here, I am also free. Notice the rhythm of your breathing again. Notice where your vibration is. Take a deep breath. Stretch a bit. Open your eyes when you're ready. This will be our last class until Tuesday after Labor Day. Now, if you're here on Sundays, we will continue on Sundays without a break, but we will be taking a bit of a sabbatical with this Tuesday evening class. So I wish you all well. I hope you have a great summer. And if there's anything you want to get me in contact with me with, questions about the book or the reading or anything else, please feel free to do that. I'm here. So thank you all. Hope you have a great evening. Great holiday.
Thank you, Jerry, and everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jerry. We'll miss you.
We'll see you on Sunday.
Okay.
You guys. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you for the tune-up. I appreciate it. Love you guys.
Love you too.
Thank you so much.
See you guys.